School districts around the country usually have a pretty good idea of how many kids in their schools live in poverty. Some of the school funding depends on an accurate count of poor families. But there are different ways to measure poverty, and Oregon schools are changing from one method to another, which means potential changes in funding for districts. The changes could be significant for some of them. To find out what's happening and where it goes from here, Michael Elliott is with us on The Exchange. He's a fiscal analyst with the Oregon Department of Education. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
So why is the calculation of poverty in each district so important, just to begin with?
Well, we have a distribution formula that's very concerned about making sure we have equity across the state. And one of the ways we measure equity is to ensure that students that have different needs get different amounts of resources. And we know that students in poverty have additional needs to make sure they get quality education. So we want to make sure that we're providing funding, extra funding to those students so that those districts that have that need can make sure they're giving those students the best education possible.
Do a bunch of different figures go into a formula to get a final number for each district or for each school?
Yes. There are 10 weights in the formula, and poverty is one of the weights. Student attendance is another. And some of the other big weights are students in English as second language programs and also students eligible for special education.
All right, so a lot of different variables then, and if one or two change even by a little bit, it sounds like the formula could be very different year to year.
Yes, the formula, again, is distributing all of the money available, and so, yes, if we add weights to the system, if one district adds a lot of weights, that district will see a lot of money, and conversely, if a district is losing some weights, then the district would see less money.
So, Michael, is it done for every school year? Is it done more often than every school year?
No, the formula is done every school year. The weight changes are also done every school year, and every year the districts provide us with the most recent data for a lot of the weights.
And so the funding then that's dedicated for students living in poverty, is it funding from the state? Is it federal funding that passes through the state? Some combination thereof?
This formula, the distribution formula, only deals with state funding. So this is all of local tax revenue and state revenues going into the formula to provide education for students in all of the local school districts.
And so why is a change to the formula underway?
The change to the formula is underway because we care very much about accuracy and, like I said, making sure the districts that have poverty have additional resources to address those needs. And currently, right now, we're using 13-year-old data, and it's time to get that updated and changed. So we're looking at newer data to make sure we are being as accurate and equitable as possible.
Wow, 13-year-old data, really?
Yes, the original formula was using 2000 Census Bureau or census data, using the decennial census, and in 2010, the decennial census stopped collecting poverty. The U.S. Census Bureau now uses different means to get at what poverty is in the nation, but because the law required us to use the decennial census, we couldn't update in 2010. Now the legislature changed the law and gave the state board the authority to update that decennial census data and use more current data.
All right. So that was Oregon House Bill 2098, is that right?
That is correct.
All right. So that's what changed the formula. So that's really interesting to think that you're using 13-year-old information, because that's the length of time a child will spend in school K through 12. And so that information would have really had a whole cohort of kids graduating out of school from the time when you last had the numbers taken.
Yes. Now, we do update for changes in population in the school districts. That was the only way we could update. And then really small districts were able to use a little bit more recent data, some free and reduced lunch data. But, again, for most of the districts, it was just changes in population. And as you've noted, that doesn't account for either the recession that we just had, the Great Recession, or even the previous recession in the early 2000s.
So you mentioned that the Census Bureau no longer captures the poverty figures?
No, the Census Bureau definitely captures the poverty figures. It's just the decennial, the actual every 10-year census that they do doesn't capture poverty.
Ah, okay. So does this mean the figures are now updated more often by the Census Bureau?
If the State Board of Education adopts the proposed method, yes. We will switch to a method that the U.S. Census Bureau does, and that will update annually.
Michael Elliott, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a fiscal analyst with the Oregon Department of Education. We're talking about changes in how poverty levels are calculated to determine some funding for school districts. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. When we talk about extra funding, what kinds of programs then are often going to be the ones that are operated with the extra funding that comes to these districts that show greater levels of poverty?
The programs offered by districts is really up to a local district's choice. The formula is very important and very integral to making sure that local districts have control over the money they receive. And so how they, it helps because then they look at their local area and say, what programs can I implement that will help the students in poverty in my area? And the state at this point for poverty doesn't provide any requirements as to how they spend the money. It's really local control.
Oh, well, and is there any set of strings attached to House Bill 2098 that says not only are we changing the formula, but we're also changing accountability or anything like that?
Not under House Bill 2098. I know the State School Fund Task Force is examining the entire formula as a whole, and they may propose some changes into how funding is and funding accountability. But right now, the formula is very important. Is a main goal of the formula is to make sure that local control is honored and that local school districts address the needs in their community.
Michael, you mentioned 10 weights in the existing formula. Will the number of weights change? Will the number of factors involved change? Or is it the same set of variables, just with different information now available?
Out of the 10 variables, we're only changing the underlying data of poverty. So none of the actual weights, and when I say weights, for example, if you have a child in English as a second language program, they get a half a weight. A child that's in poverty gets a quarter weight. We're not changing those numbers. We're just changing the underlying data to make it more accurate and up-to-date.
It sounds like a tricky process, though, the one that probably takes a fair amount of time because you have a whole bunch of variables involved in the formula to put it all together. And then a lot of back-checking, I'm sure, to take a look and make sure the numbers are right.
Yes. The formula takes a lot of time. We get a lot of cooperation from the districts, a lot of information from the districts, and it's really a collaborative effort between the school districts and the state to make sure this money goes out as accurate and on time and equitably as possible.
All right. So given the changes then, I mean, what kinds of dollar changes could hit school districts?
Well, it really depends. A lot of districts, especially in the Jackson County, will probably see a relative increase in funding because they're seeing an increase in the number of students in poverty because, again, they were using 13-year-old data, now they're using more accurate data. So we've seen an increase in poverty in Southern Oregon, and this would reflect that. So they'll see some additional revenue. Now, for those districts that may not be seeing additional revenue, that would be really tough. It is tough. But the good news is, overall, the entire system is seeing a lot more money in 2014-15 than they will see in 2013-14. And it's 2014-15 when this will go into effect.
But I'm thinking this is probably a limited basket, so we're not talking about increasing some districts will come up, but then some will come down, yes?
That is correct, yes. Yeah, some districts will be up and some districts will be down because this is, at the end of the day, it is a zero-sum game.
Which obviously will hamper the ability of some districts to take care of some poorer kids. Was there a belief in the legislature that some districts were just getting too much money or elsewhere in the educational apparatus in the state of Oregon?
There was concern at the legislature, from my understanding, that it wasn't that districts were getting too much money. It was that those districts that had had a lot of poverty for many years weren't seeing the revenue and weren't seeing the funding to address those issues. And so they were concerned that there was a lot of underestimating of poverty going on. And they were correct. As we look at the data for this new set, we're seeing that there are more kids in poverty in the state as a whole than there were under the old formula. And so that does mean that, yes, there will be some loss of revenue, but again, this is more accurate. And then the legislature can address the loss of revenue in the 15th session when they plan the budget for the next 2 years.
All right, that was the next question, is when the legislature might say, oh, okay, if we got more poor kids in Oregon, we need more money for them all. But what essentially is happening now is that with the identification process underway, based on the census information available now, apparently there are more children living in poverty in the state of Oregon, but no additional money to help them through the schools.
I mean, yes, there's no, the legislature did not add additional money for this specifically, but again, the legislature in the special session added $100 million to the school districts, mm-hmm. and this change in poverty is far less than that. So again, the school districts as a whole are seeing more money in 14-15.
So you mentioned that free and reduced lunches, I've heard that figure used a lot as one determinant of poverty. What are some of the others?
Free and reduced lunch is used a lot. Also, what we're using is something the U.S. Census Bureau puts out. It's called the Small Area Income Poverty Estimate. That is a model that looks at several data points, including the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. It includes Census Bureau data, it includes IRS tax data, and it includes some labor and employment statistics. So the two big choices are the small area income poverty estimate and then free and reduced lunch. And we, the SAPI data, as I call it, is more accurate than free and reduced lunch.
SAPI is the small area income poverty?
Correct.
Got it. Okay. That's a lot of information that goes into that, though. And I mean, people must have a certain level of concern, though, when they hear about things like tax data being computed in this. This is not anything that ends up identifying people individually, is it?
No. If you go on the website of the Census Bureau and look, all you see are numbers. There's no individual identification, and the U.S. Census Bureau is extremely concerned about privacy. And I believe when I was doing research for this, the Census Bureau, each member, each employee has taken oath that they will never reveal anything they get. Ever. It's not just while they work there, but ever. So I know the Census Bureau cares very much about privacy of individual data.
All right. So, again, this is largely geared to changes that came about in the Census Bureau and the way it delivers data. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. When they stopped collecting poverty in the decennial census, we knew we couldn't use the 2000 census forever. So we had to find a new way. And this appears to be a more accurate and equitable way.
And how much number crunching has to go on at each district, or is the state doing it for the districts?
The state does it for the districts. The districts will not have to do any number crunching. The beauty of this system is under the old system, it was very hard for them to calculate poverty, and if a district would like to see what their poverty is, they can go out to the Census Bureau's website, find this data, and do this themselves to check and make sure that the numbers that I'm coming up with, the state's coming up with, are accurate.
So where do things go from here? I mean, the process seems to be pretty well laid out. I mean, have the districts already received the information about what their funding change might be?
Districts received a projection based on the latest data I had at the time, which was 2013-14. Within the next couple of days, districts will be receiving an updated projection based on 2014-15 data. As far as procedure of this rule, right now it's a proposed rule before the State Board of Education, and the State Board will meet in late January, I believe January 23rd, and they will either adopt the rule or ask for more comments or move it on down the road or that sort of thing. So the State Board, it has not adopted the rule yet. Once the State Board adopts the rule, then we'll move forward with programming and get this out to the districts as part of their estimate.
So, Michael Elliott, based on the information that's already been delivered, is your phone ringing a lot from districts saying, hey, this is going to be a big difference for us, big difference down?
Yes, my phone has been ringing. I think the districts, one of the reasons why we looked at this is because before this occurred, we were getting a lot of complaints from districts like, hey, the money I'm getting for poverty does not reflect what's going on in my district, and I know it doesn't. So when we made this change, I've been out and done a lot of presentations to superintendents and business managers of the districts across the state, and a lot of the feedback I'm receiving from them are that this makes sense. We need to update. This makes sense. And yes, for those districts that are seeing a potential loss in income, it's hard for them, but even some of them are saying, this is going to be hard, but this makes sense to do. So the districts have been supportive of this in general.
And it seems like there are some changes in neighboring districts. I'm looking at a piece that Samantha Tipler wrote for the Herald and News in Klamath Falls last week about school funding change then could mean that the Klamath Falls City School District gets about $250,000 more, but the Klamath County School District gets about $310,000 less. And so is that not an infrequent thing where you're going to have neighboring districts having different fates based on what's going on with these numbers?
Yes, I think it's not – we try – you know, sorry about that. Yes, neighboring districts could see different changes depending on how their individual numbers and how their individual factors play out. A lot goes into that final number, so a district could see an increase because they're seeing an increase in enrollment, for example, or they could see a decrease because they're seeing a decrease in enrollment. So it really depends on all 10 of those factors that we've talked about going into the formula to see what the final outcome will be. It's not always directly related to poverty.
Is the system now then more flexible? I mean, will the numbers get updated that much more often?
Yes, the system is more flexible, and the reason why we're seeing such a big change now is because we're going from a static system to a flexible system all at once. But once we get on the flexible system, the changes will be much more smaller and much more minor every year, and it'll be just another piece of data they put into their budget and plan for.
Ah, so year to year, they'll see little tweaks as opposed to every 10 years, kabam, or 13 years, I guess, in the most recent case.
Exactly. And even if we stayed with the old system, you stated it exactly, and that is that every 10 years there would be this huge shift because we'd get new poverty data. Now it's going to be minor tweaks every year.
Michael Elliott, this sounds like this has been occupying a lot of your time. If you weren't working on these poverty formulas for the school districts in the state of Oregon, I mean, how much time has this taken, and what has it taken time away from?
This has taken a fair amount of time, but I am the state school fund coordinator, and this is integral to the state school fund. So as far as what it's taken time away from, we're still making payments on time and out the door every time, and we're still working on, right now it's audit season, so all the districts are submitting audits, and I generally help out with that. I'm not able to do that as much right now. But as far as, you know, taking time away from payments, that's still moving forward.
All right. And you have been making presentations, I understand, around the state so school districts can better understand what's coming?
Yes. I made a statewide presentation to a conference of business managers, and I've been asked by several groups of superintendents to make a presentation as well. And also been talking with the legislature about this and explaining, you know, here's the proposed system that the state board is looking at.
And again, it appears that the adoption of proposed rule would come at the state board meeting on the 23rd of January?
That is correct.
All right. Michael Elliott is a fiscal analyst with the Oregon Department of Education, the fiscal analyst, it sounds like, for the State Department of Education. Thank you so much for joining us today to explain the changes in the way poverty is calculated for school districts.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. We will talk to the Rogue and Klamath Riverkeepers in hour number two. Please stay tuned to the Jefferson Exchange.